Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. For those of you in the United States, that is 5 till 7 Central Texas time, 3 till 5 Pacific, and 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. If you are driving at that particular point because you are stuck in the slave traffic after coming home from your slave job, don't worry, your slave smartphone will also have an app available at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And for those of you in New Zealand, 10 a.m. till midday currently during the winter time is the time to tune in, and during summertime, usually about midday till 2 p.m. So, you know, when you're having lunch and what have you, you can probably tune in for about an hour, and then you're going to go back into the slave job. You know what? It's really sad having a slave job, isn't it? Isn't it? I haven't had one for a long time, and I was just thinking last night about how much I would hate it if I had to do that kind of work, you know? Like, I had a visitor yesterday who's a rather talented sound man, and let me know. Asked me, you know, what did I do before all of this kind of happened? And I was just like, well, you know what, I told him my story. I've had like bunches of bad jobs. I was a really good worker. In fact, the best money maker for most of the companies that I became part of, but the difficulty was they really didn't give a frick about me. You know, when it comes to that kind of thing, it's always about the bottom line, and there's plenty of good employers out there, and long may they remain in business, I must say, because I've spoken to a number of people who have really, really good bosses who actually care, who are on their workers' side and so on and so forth. And it's just, it's good to see, you know, it's good to see people actually providing decent examples for their workers and so on and so forth. Because, look, at the end of the day, everybody got to work. Everybody got to get this horrible thing called paper money that the Federal Reserve prints out, or the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, in my case. And it's an evil thing, right, to know that the very thing that you need for your survival is the very thing that your enemy scumbaggery entities need for survival. You know, the government needs all that paper money to print out of absolutely nothing in order to oppress you and frack with your Shiite Muslim. Is that something that really scares people? Isn't that way? Are we bound to the New World Order via the money stream? Can we not survive without it? Is this large creature we call the New World Order one of these things that we actually, despite the fact that we hate it and fear it, despite the fact that it's trying to kill us, we need it for some reason? Why do we need it? I'm not sure if we truly do. Because there's got to be a better way. There has to be something worth living for that doesn't involve copious quantities of scumbaggery. There must be. What is that purpose? Well, I found mine, I guess. You know, my last paycheck was like $4,500 cash. Plus $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers to spend in a mall on pretty much anything you can buy in the mall. You know, I gave up that to become a radio show host, activist person. And I'm not sure if it was really so much of a choice because of a lack of options. You know, you can't keep supporting the system by any means, not when you've got the ability to disrupt it. And I think that that's really the ultimate choice that we all have to make. At some point, something will happen to you. Doesn't happen to everybody, but something might just well happen to you. Where suddenly, it's not just talk radio anymore. Suddenly, it's not just a documentary. Suddenly, it's actually your life. that's on the line here. That's the real danger. Because once you realize that it's your life in your hands, then all of a sudden, all of these other things that you thought were, maybe a little bit scary, maybe you didn't want to pay much attention to them because you had other things to do, suddenly become crystal clear. And you recognize that everything you've been building towards your entire life no longer exists. This is the life we've started to live now, I think. We've started to get the picture that all of these destructive, self-deprecating means by which we live day in, day out, sucking back the fast food, are absolutely worthless. There's no value in it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like the lies that we once believed, the lies that we once had held dear, simply lost their meaning. And as a result, some of us lose our meaning. We don't want to talk to people anymore because we hate it because people call us conspiracy theorists. We don't want to help people anymore because people don't want our help. They tell us to go home and go crazy somewhere else. They don't like us turning up to protests and spitting the truth that they're too cowardly to say or too ignorant to know about. What is it? Why is it that conspiracy theorists are still demonized even by other members of, you know, so-called protest movements and whatnot? You know? You'd figure if people are out there protesting against something, for example, like, the Patriot Act or the NDAA or the GCSB bill as the equivalent here in New Zealand. And there's equivalents in every single country because it's a new world order. But if you come out and say that and you tell people that it's part of a global agenda, an intelligence agency apparatus that exists specifically to kill you, or if it ain't going to kill you, it's just going to surveil you and control you till the end of your life, which would probably be a lot shorter because, hey, you know, humans don't live very long in a cage. At least not by my reasoning anyway. I certainly couldn't. This is the reality that we've got to start dealing with here. And it occurs to me that most people, even if they are already allegedly clued up about things, even if they're already politically active and engaging in protests, even if they're already in alternative media, still don't get it. And if they do get it, well, that opens up a whole other can of worms because it means that they're either too afraid to tell the truth for fear of being demonized, or they're intentionally misleading people for one of their own little personal agendas. Maybe they're a little, maybe they actually like the way that the world is heading. Maybe they're a government agent or something, working for the other side, diverting people down dead-end streets, where none of their voices will be heard anyway. When none of the things that we hold dear, our freedom, our liberty, our personal property, will continue to be ours. If you're part of the system, you are part of the problem. This is the reason why I could no longer be part of the system in that regard, in terms of working, in terms of saying conventional things through a megaphone or a microphone. Because it's just not freaking worth it. There is no point in doing the same things that you've always done. What is going to change? The answer is absolutely everything, surprisingly, because the system is changing right around us at all times, very rapidly. And there's protest movements here in New Zealand who don't like me, even though I have put them on YouTube more than anybody else. Even though I've given them coverage on this radio show. They don't care. They just don't like my message. And that's kind of depressing to me. You know, just a little bit. Kind of fills you full of angst. And then, I don't know, how am I supposed to get zen about that? How am I supposed to get comfortable with the fact that the people I've been helping don't appreciate my help? Should I simply withdraw it? Should I start attacking them? You know, exposing their scumbaggery or calling them out in public or something of that nature? I've got the technology. I can do that. If they hosted a public meeting, for example, and I wanted to shout them down or expose them, I have a megaphone large enough to outmatch pretty much any sound system that you would have at any given public meeting. I could overbearingly barrel them out, call them shills, tell them that they're cowards, that they won't really stand up for the truth now that it matters. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let them keep doing whatever they want to do. And I'm going to keep giving them coverage, as I have done. Not because they appreciate it. Not because they care about the truth. Not because they're brave enough to come out and fully say it. But because they say things that the mainstream media doesn't report. That's the point. Whatever my personal agenda is to get the truth out, yada, 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 I think is actually irrelevant. Okay? You become in danger when you're possessed by a microphone or a camera or something like that, of thinking that your opinion is the only opinion that matters, that your truth is the only truth that matters. The reality is much different. And even though you may feel offended, even though you might sit up all night kind of stewing about it and flashing back memories of how you were underappreciated at your last job and so on and so forth, and wondering about giving up or attacking and what have you, even though all those things come to mind, it doesn't actually work that way. You get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, as the old saying goes. Incidentally, my name's Vinny, and we have a brand of vinegar that is used for removing scum, political purposes. It's developed for that. Can I ask, and I want everybody to ask this of themselves, what is the most important thing in your life right now? If it's not saving humanity as a whole from the global dictatorship, the communist technocratic system that will take away everybody's freedoms forever. If it's not that, if it's not exposing it, if it's not stopping it, what is the most important priority in your life? getting something to eat, keeping a roof over your kid's head, food's going to run out. You're going to be evicted once this new world order comes in. So all these things that you're trying to do just to get by will actually be the things that are enslaving you and will eventually, through your dependence on them, be the very thing that gets you exterminated. You know? You got to realize something. You got to quit doing what is expected of you and start doing something that you never expected you were even capable of doing. Something great. Something important. Something that will change the world. Something when you can look back on your life once it's over. When you look back at history and say, you know, I made a difference. I took a stand, regardless of whether or not you were successful. We'll be right back.
Out the door, just in time. Head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. Is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman. I'm no
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The mainstream media are a bunch of scum, okay? And 99% of the time, they're just complete morons, pathetic scum, okay? Occasionally, just occasionally, they'll cover something where they don't appear like total scum. And I'm gonna show you something right now. But let me. I'm a proviso. You have to understand that despite the fact that occasionally they don't look like scum, doesn't mean they're not still total scum. Okay, I'm sick of apologists for the media. I'm sick of people trying to garner the media and going, oh, can you please cover our protest and this, that, and the other, you know, and saying we need to garner the media, we need to help them cover us and blah, blah, blah. No, you freaking idiots. They're a bunch of mind-controlling scum. They always have been. And you've only just gotten the idea in your head that they are. All right? But you're not actually dealing with people who've learned some kind of lesson. You're just listening to one story that's true out of a billion that are BS. Stop making apologies for them. They got to start being honest every single freaking story that they possibly can ever conceivably report on before I will be duped and say that they're reliable. And here's what was it? This is Campbell Live, who I ambushed old Johnny Campbell way back in the day at a 9/11 truth protest. And they're covering this thing. The Prime Minister, okay, doesn't really care about New Zealanders. Probably never has. Right. And this is what he says about the GCSB bill, which essentially abolishes privacy. And if you abolish privacy, you abolish freedom. Okay. This is basically what he said. I'll see if I can get this video playing for you.
The GCSB bill fundamentally and incredibly changes the powers of the GCSB within New Zealand. You may think that's a good idea, you may think that's a bad idea, but the Prime Minister suspects you don't actually care at all That's what he told Rebecca Wright at the National Party conference over the weekend.
Minister, we are doing a State of the Nation this week with regards to the GCSB bill. How do you
My advice is the switch to Snapper and more people will watch Campbell Live, but it's up to you.
Well, how do you think that Kiwis feel about the bill?
I think they're much more interested in the Snapper quota.
But I'm not talking about the Snapper quota, I'm talking about the GCSB bill. How do you think that they feel about the GCSB bill?
Yeah, I think they're much more interested in the Snapper quota.
Why?
Because they like catching fish.
As opposed to...
Well, they can see that either A, they fed a lot of information through information they see, which is just incorrect. But most New Zealanders understand that actually there is the need for the GCSB. They accept the government's perspective that there's a narrow focus to that, and they accept that this bill is improving oversight. But many of them will get a bit confused by experts that turn up on your show that aren't really experts and actually don't know what they're talking about.
Will you turn up on our show and tell New Zealanders what you're talking about in regards to this bill on Monday week when we bring the results back?
Probably not.
The Prime Minister. Some of the experts we've had on our show include the Law Society, Geoffrey Palmer, a former Prime Minister and therefore GCSB Minister, and Law Professor, Constitutional Law Experts, and Salmon, the New Zealander of the Year. Lots of people who the Prime Minister appears to dismiss as knowing nothing at all. The Law Society's submission is on our website, by the way. So is the GCSB Bill too. And so is this thing. This is the voting form. We are conducting an opinion poll. Do you support or oppose the GCSB Bill? That is the question we're asking. We would love your opinion on it so we can take your opinion back to the Prime Minister. We are travelling throughout New Zealand this week to encourage you to vote online and to actually get your signatures if we should meet you on our travels.
All right. So, did the media call out the New World Order? No. Did the media say that John Key's a liar? No, they didn't. Okay, so just on those two points that they didn't mention, and this is the thing. This is the mention, okay, that we get, that we have to be putting up with. Now, it seems like an okay piece, but I've got higher standards than that. All right, it's not like I'm a credible journalist or anything. Like John Campbell doesn't even know 9/11's an inside job. All right, it's not like I'm saying that I'm better than them. Actually, I guess I am. but I don't want to be arrogant here. I just want to tell the truth. Okay. Journalists, on the other hand, they have the opposite intention to me. They don't want to tell the truth. They just want to be arrogant. You know, they want to appear like they know what they're talking about. They want to appear like, they're the ones with credibility and so on and so forth. You know, but I don't really hold to that because, at the end of the day, this is a classic New Zealand saying. At the end of the day, and this is what politicians always say before they start lying to you. you know, or they'll start off the sentence with, "The reality is." Now, if you have guts, real guts, you can come out on mainstream news, call John Key a liar, call him a economic hitman, call him an agent of Wall Street. Call him the truth, okay? Whatever the truth might be, that is the truth you should speak. Don't pussyfoot around. Don't mince words. You want it all sugar-coated? Nah, mate. Right between the eyes. And what's the truth? Right between the eyes? That the GCSB bill is going to abolish privacy in this country and hence abolish your freedoms. Your freedom to, basically do anything that the government doesn't want. Government doesn't want you protesting. Boom, start surveilling you. Find a little blackmail on you. Think everybody's done something that they're embarrassed about, even if it's illegal or not. Are they really afraid of that information being released or leaked? And if the government has a central database by which they can acquire all said information and habits on everybody at all times, then you're fracked, mate. And you know who the prime targets will be? It won't be criminals. No. It'll be people who oppose the government's view on things. People who act within the law, call public meetings, attend protests, organise, so on and so forth. They're going to cut off the head of the snake. And then, when all people who would ever speak out against the government, who would ever have the courage of their convictions to say what was unpopular, will be executed eventually. This is what we're heading towards. Now that is the sugar-coated version. Make no mistake. This is the reality that we're all going to have to start dealing with. Wake up! The New World Order is real. It is not a conspiracy theory. Where did the term conspiracy theory came from? Well, it turns out that the CIA created the term conspiracy theorist. Who was the first person who used the term conspiracy theorist in public speech? I wonder. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Richard Milhouse Nixon. Well, what do you mean? How did Richard Nixon say conspiracy theorist? Well, you know, Woodward and Bernstein, the Watergate affair, who exposed Nixon as being part of a conspiracy and a crook. He was the he called them conspiracy theorists and claimed he wasn't a crook when he was part of a conspiracy and a crook. Anybody who calls you a conspiracy theorist is a lying piece of scum, okay? And all these mainstream media people are the same kind of scum. All these protest leaders and bloggers throughout the frickin' country who do not talk about the New World Order for fear of being called a conspiracy theorist, who call people like me a conspiracy theorist, who criticize me for leading, say, a chemtrail march or something of that nature. You are scum too. Okay? You're fulfilling the New World Order agenda by not talking about it. It's the only reason why it's even capable of being put into place is if people are unaware of it. And you are knowing. You are culpable. You know that this is not a conspiracy theory, but you're too afraid, aren't you? You're afraid of losing your so-called credibility by coming out and saying the truth. Isn't that interesting? That by saying the truth, you lose your credibility. I think the world's upside down. I think people have gotten just a little bit retarded. Got their priorities all out of whack. I don't think we should tolerate this kind of behavior. I think that speaking the truth, regardless of whether or not a cop comes up and speaks to you and tries to stop you from doing so, is the most important thing. Right now, in a world full of lies, deceit, deception, and people covering up what they truly think, because they're afraid of what other people will think about them if they tell them what they truly think. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And it must be yelled and screamed and talked softly as well. There is no option left to humanity but to speak the truth, regardless of anybody telling you you're a conspiracy theorist, telling you to shut up. Pick your battles, though. You know the stupidest thing that us truthers do? We try to convince our family members of the New World Order. How dumb of us, you know? No wonder they start to hate us, because we're trying to mess with their mind control. It's like, oh, well, I just like being a slave, and I'm just going to eat my GMOs and slurp back my nice aspartame slushy. Yes, indeed you will be. And it's going to give you freaking cancer. And you're going to get angry with me for telling you that it's giving you cancer. You're going to get angry with me for telling you that the white bread that you eat every day has bleach in it. You know, I'm not the one who put bleach in it. I'm not the one who made aspartame turn into formaldehyde in your gut. I'm not the one who engineered cancer viruses and put them in the vaccines, yo. But you, even now that I've told you about it, continue to support the system by chugging that Shiite Muslim back. It's real hard to escape from the system. I know. It's really traumatic to wake up to the fact that there even is a system. I know. But get the frack over it.
Oh, but why do I have to get over it? Why can't I just live out the rest of my life in peace, you know, and go live in the hills somewhere?
Because they have drones, dumbass, with infrared cameras on them. Where do you think you're going to hide? On a mountain somewhere? They will find you. They will kill you. And they'll probably come for you first. Because you're the one who realizes what's going on and tried to get out of it. But the thing is, you cannot get out of a system that is called the New World Order. You cannot get out. You cannot get out. You must fight. Humanity has been backed into a corner. You must bite. You must spit. You must kick. You must yell. You must scream. You must read documents. You must watch documentaries. You must get informed and spread the information by any means necessary. It is not a hot war yet. We still have peaceful means to wake people up. We still have creativity left. There is still some intelligence left in humanity. But every single day, inexorably, plans are drawn against us to rob us of our natural born abilities. Our ability to create, our ability to think, our ability to love, our ability to care will simply no longer exist unless we resist the system in every conceivable possible way. And I can assure you that every day that you wake up, I don't care where you're living, there is some kind of scumbaggery going on. Doesn't matter whether it's a clock radio. Doesn't matter whether it's a wire in the wall. There is some form of scumbaggery behind it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The call lines are now open. I'm in the middle of like a really kind of a angsty rant. So if you want to join me in on this, if you have any questions or comments, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339. I love it how call on number's got a 33 in it. 218-339-8525 is the number to call in. Now, I was just thinking, what was I thinking last night? Oh, yeah. People in the movements that you follow and you enjoy, that you find out are just fallen heroes, right? And this is the reason why a lot of people get depressed and actually stop being in the truth movement, because they idolize people who are just ordinary people just like them. And instead of realizing that, oh my God, this person's an example to follow and that I can actually be better myself and I don't need that person anymore, you put that person on a pedestal, say, oh, you're great, you're wonderful, I really appreciate your work, etc., blah, 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 as if they're not human, as if there's something more. It's like, no, 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 no. all the people that I've ever admired in my life have disappointed me because I thought that they were better than me. And the answer is they're not. They're not better than me. I'm not better than you. Nobody's better than anybody. Apart from, you know, New World Order Rockefeller scum. But, you know, do you see what I'm saying here? You know, we've all got a heck of a lot of potential, way more potential than we even conceivably could realize, all right? But it's only once you start believing that, it's only once you start believing that you actually have the power, that you don't need a leader, that you don't need a tutor, that you don't need really anything or anybody in order to accomplish great things that have never been done before. You don't need anything. All you need to do is recognize the power that is within you. That which is inside of you, it cannot be extinguished unless you will it to be. And the worst thing you can do is put somebody up on a pedestal as the highest thing that you wish to aspire to. No, can't do that, man. Because you will get disheartened. I assure you. Everybody who you admire, think is a hero or whatever, has flaws and character traits that you might not like. And once you find out about those certain flaws and certain character traits, you get really depressed. And instead of, you know, taking that leap, changing your life, doing something, recognizing your own personal power, you get depressed about it and slump back into old techniques. That's not a good thing, is it? You know, like the media. I used to look up to a lot of people in alternative media. Now I don't. Not because I think I'm better than them, but because I'm doing my own thing. Okay? Nobody else is doing what I'm doing. Nobody else is doing what many other hosts are doing too. And the reason why they're doing what they're doing is because they ain't following anybody's directions. They're following their own hearts, their own minds. That's what makes them so powerful. That's what makes them so incredibly enjoyable to listen to, because people like that remind you of what is best in yourself. But they don't remind you right in your face. They simply provide an example which can remind you if you're actually really listening. I mean, how long did it take? It took me 3.5 years, I think, before I stopped listening to everybody else's radio show, stopped watching everybody else's YouTube videos, and just started making my own. Okay? Once you've accumulated a certain amount of knowledge, you know, it's kind of like The Matrix, you know, how they upload the jump program or upload the pilot training program. Once you've got the program installed, that is when you are capable of doing said thing, whatever it might be. Analyze documentaries. Analyze radio shows. Cherry pick these things that you like, these things that you wish to emulate. And the key here is, don't just say you're going to do it. Don't just plan to do it tomorrow. Do it now. Like right now, this very second. Every time that people have become successful in life, it's because they didn't make plans to do things tomorrow. It's because they just made things happen today. Really? That's ultimately the cause of it. Why are you still fat, bro? Oh, because I'm going to exercise tomorrow. Why don't you just do 10 press-ups right now? Because you're just making a whole bunch of excuses. That's why you're still fat. Why are you so dumb, bro? I'll start reading or watching documentaries tomorrow. No, why don't you just jump on the internet right now? Stop watching freaking Big Bang Theory or something like that and watch a documentary. Because this episode's not finished. I've got a couple of episodes left of the series. That's why you're still dumb. You see what I'm saying here? This is just trying to break through the BS for people. I'm sorry if I'm offending some people by telling you the truth, but for frack's sake, We've got to get it through all of our heads that we can't be waiting around for anything anymore. We are the people we've been waiting for. We are the people that can make a difference. But if you're trying something and you get discouraged because it ain't working, that's because whatever you're doing isn't supposed to work out anyway, man. And you got two choices. You can either persist and just go, you know, frack it, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make it work. Or you can try something else. But don't just get back and just do nothing, you know. That's not a good move. That's not a good move at all. It's an incredibly dumb move, bro. Especially because when people get discouraged, other people see them being discouraged. Other people see them in these places of woe and depression and that kind of thing. And it's infectious, right? You know, a whole bunch of people out there who say, yeah, I'm going to destroy the New World Order. I'm going to expose their scumbaggery. I am not going to let them walk all over me. I will not let them destroy my nation. I will not let them harness and control my people like a Clydesdale horse. I will not let it happen. And then it happens anyway, despite the fact that you fought as hard as you can, and you go, Frank, guess I'll just give up. Come on. You know, there's more at stake here than our egos, I think. And I should know. I've got a gargantuan ego. I wouldn't be able to, you know, this is the thing about radio hosts. We've all got gargantuan egos. We all think we know what we're talking about. Some of us are a little bit more humble than others. But on the whole, you know, eventually you develop a little bit of megalomania. And you think you know everything. And you think you can control everything, control everybody. So what happens to everybody who gets really successful in what it is that they do? They stop caring about other people who don't know what they're doing or don't know what they're talking about. And as a result, they start to not care about the vast majority of the population who don't know what they're doing or don't know what they're talking about. Okay? Then you start to hate humanity in general. And you only like certain people, you know, like your friends and your well-wishers and your support crew and so on and so forth. No, I think this is a really bad move, man. Bad move. George Norrie didn't do that from Coast to Coast AM. He actually talks to people everywhere he goes. That's what he said to me in 2010 when I interviewed him. He says, I asked him, well, you know, what do you do in order to prevent yourself from becoming some form of douchebag, having such a massive radio following? He says, you've got to talk to the people. You've got to just talk to the people. And I think it was very simple, but very profound advice. And I found some of the most profound advice is this most simple. It's easier to understand, and it makes sense. If you stop having contact with all the ordinary people, you start to think that you're extraordinary because they're the only people that you have around you. There's nothing extraordinary about me. Nothing extraordinary about you. Almost every single show, almost every single person that I've ever had on this show, when I ask them who they are and what they do, invariably, at some point in the conversation, they say, oh, I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just an ordinary gal. To be ordinary is to be extraordinary. You know what I'm saying? The most average of us can be the most powerful. If only we were to believe in ourselves and stop believing the BS that comes out of mainstream media, our schools, and in a lot of cases, our friends. You'll be surprised how full of BS your friends are when you start to wake up and realize the truth. And then eventually you realize that they ain't your friends at all. Are they? And you go out and you make new ones who actually have potential, who aren't wasting their lives. 218-339-8525 is the number to call in. That's 218-339-8525. 0339 8525, or take your calls after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. To hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Hopefully taking your calls, 218-339-8525. A bit of a rant today. You know, it's got to be good. You got to have some fun. I was also thinking, I want to do more, you know, like way more. Because you see so many other people, you see this mainstream media apparatus, and they're dressed in their nice suits, and they've got their great fancy studios, and so on and so forth. And I've managed to replicate something relatively similar to that. You know, got the big screen behind me, got the studio lights, got the cameras, and so on and so forth. However, the New World Order ain't defeated yet.
Is it?
Is it? The activists aren't heard often enough. Are they? Are they? So it means I'm not doing enough, because I've taken personal responsibility to make sure the New World Order does not enslave everybody and kill all of us. That is a big responsibility. A big one. And I may not be successful. It may just be a pipe dream, as it were. However, the point is, you have to do what is right. Regardless of whether or not you feel that your cause will be successful. Regardless. You don't really have any options. You don't really have any choices. You have to stand up. You have to do something. Just something. Anything. Listening to shows like this and other shows on American Freedom Radio is one small part of the way that you can contribute to a better society for all. One small way. It's not the only way you can contribute. You can support the hosts as well by sharing their shows. You can donate to them. You can purchase products off of their website. So they're advertisers, because this is the other thing. We're living in a world now where having an honest business that actually sells people products that don't freaking kill them is becoming rarer and rarer. And you got to vote with your dollars, if you got any, whatever Federal Reserve dollars you got. And the difficulty is, of course, that if you're chasing advertisers the whole time, and this is the problem with mainstream media that I've found, and this is the reason why they won't cover certain stories, is because they'd be biting the hand that feeds them. You know, we're talking yesterday about Chronic and K2, these artificial cannabis substitutes that have been floating around New Zealand these last couple of years, because they still haven't decriminalized or legalized cannabis. So naturally, they come up with a really dangerous thing. That doesn't make any sense. Right, so we're going to go to our first caller now in a 447 area code or something like that. Caller, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello, Vinny. It is I, Jerome and Benu, but you don't know who I am.
I do.
How are you today? You're very miserable.
Oh, no, I'm actually quite happy.
Oh, are you?
Okay. Yeah. I've recognised just how much of an obligation that I have to speak the truth, regardless of whether or not people wish to hear it.
That's an obligation to yourself and to natural law, not an obligation to other people. If they don't want to listen, just leave them to be.
Well, that's true. But then again, if we don't convince the people who don't want to listen, that's the majority of people, right? You got to tell people something about 7 times before they get it. And so my perspective
is
all you've got to do is just play your part.
I've heard that one. And, like, I tell you that I'm very weird. So you're talking about the Big Bang Theory. I was very glad when it came out because I'm very much like the initial version. I hate to see it, but ridiculous. But very much like that. And I've been saying the same thing to my parents for 45 years now, and they still don't understand what I'm talking about.
That's because 6 other people didn't say the same thing that you're saying to them, bro. It's not because you need to say the same thing 7 times just being the one person. You need 7 different people to say the same thing to them before it clicks.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
You could say people like to say like yourself, who are people that understand and are a bit clued up. And all the mass people is trained to be that... As soon as they hear, say, Dave Cameron or your Prime Sinister say something, everything has been lost.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like depression is like anger, except it doesn't have any motivation behind it. And I'm all in favor of, like, being angry with the way things are, because then at the least you want to do something about it. Whereas if you're depressed... And if the situation appears hopeless, you tend to do less and less and less as time goes on, and it makes you angry with yourself that you're not doing enough, which makes you even more depressed. Yeah, that's a very bad cycle.
But you mean channeled anger, using that emotion in the correct way?
Yeah, well, it doesn't even need to really necessarily be channeled at first. You eventually learn how to use it. But the thing is, like they say in that movie Network, I don't know to tell you to write to your congressman, because I wouldn't know how to tell you to write. All I know is you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, goddammit. My life has value.
But I don't know about that. Writing to the system, the congressman or your politician is like, I do like these protest movements because I think that'd be good for the masses to start understanding. Like here, I can tell you, it was so amusing. This is England. And they had one of our politicians came on, and he gave the impression, he actually didn't lie, he was very clever in his wording, and said that GM foods were okay and good for you in his impression. And nobody understood how bad these things are.
Yeah, well, I mean, does this politician know that GMOs are banned in Europe? Does this politician know that, like, 40 countries have banned Monsanto?
From what I'm hearing about politicians, I think they're only... how much information can you take in? I mean, you used to work in a job where I bet you had 1,000 emails a day, so how much information do they have on the whips doing all the nonsense? How would they know? They're just one person. They have strange upbringings, don't they? So, this politician said something, if I paraphrase it slightly, he said, as far as he has read from scientific report, there is no danger in GM foods.
If you were one of the people in the press gallery while he was making that statement, and you asked a question, what scientific report, who wrote that report, when was it commissioned, who funded it? So on and so forth. As long as you're just there to ask those very simple, basic questions, he won't be able to answer a single one of them if he's lying.
No, it was mainstream media. That just came straight through the television, so everybody just accepts that.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? People here are totally like that. So like they think if Kim Kardashian is using a certain kind of hair product, then if they put that on their hair, and I'm talking about mongers, horrible-looking people that they look like her, and you can see them feeling like that, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, it's true. I mean, we've got the celebrity mass culture, and, you know, my opinion is that mass culture is poisonous culture, okay, because it corrupts people's ability to be an individual, really. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's about not thinking. It's about following instead of leading. It's about swallowing instead of spitting it out. And that's really dangerous because they could be feeding you poison. And in my opinion, most of the cases, that's exactly what they're doing. Kim Kardashian's new hair product, I can guarantee you, it probably causes cancer upon contact with the skin.
Well, I also heard your an interview you did. What's her name? I've only seen her on... There's a very bad reality program. She's like a little pretty Filipino Chinese girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tila Tequila.
Yeah. Her, and I've heard from others as well, that is not so good at the top at all. It's not a good world. So, like, everyone's dreaming to get to a world like that, which would be absolute hell for them. If I can believe what they're saying, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just this kind of really nasty culture. And just think about this for a moment. If you're part of the mainstream brainwashing mechanism, okay, if you were in Playboy magazine, if you've been in movies, television shows, celebrity culture, so on and so forth, that is not a healthy culture, okay? Have a look at all the drug overdoses. Have a look at all the divorces. Have a look at all the mental breakdowns. Have a look at all the drink driving. Have a look at all the cocaine use and so on and so forth. And this is just the stuff that's out in public. If you go even deeper than that, have a look at all the vampire clubs where celebrities actually literally go into these clubs in order to drink human blood out of a glass. Okay, and it's even worse than that. There's rape, there's ritual sacrifice, there's occult worship, and so on and so forth. It's just infinitely more evil the higher you go up the scale. And you cannot be in that culture without it becoming apparent to you. And once it's apparent to you and you come out against it, that's when you fall. That's when all of your work dries up. That's when all your money gets taken away from you. That's when all your liberty gets taken. Your sense of feeling of safeness, security, that will be taken away from you as well. She's had a number of attempts on her life, Tila Tequila has. Quite a number, in fact. And she's still alive. And she's still out there speaking the truth. Now, regardless of how any of us might feel about celebrity culture, I believe that we should indeed stand up behind those people who put themselves on the line to expose the truth. Because that's the most important thing, because they know. They've actually been there. They've actually done that. They've seen it happen. And what I find very interesting is that because people don't want to believe it, they choose not to believe it. Now, yeah.
With the simplest of things, Yvonne, tell them to their face and they still don't believe it. I mean, I'm nowhere near what's happened to these people. Like, I've also, the Kathy O'Brien book, oh my God. I don't even know how it was possible for her to turn her life around. But, like, I went through all the paedophilia stuff. I am PhD mathematics, so all the sort of that kind of nonsense. But all of that happened. And then, you get paid so well, as you'll know that you get paid well. When you're getting paid well, it means you must be doing something bad. It must be something good to, like, control the people, the naughty boys at the top there.
So I've been through all that. In general, that's true.
And then they took everything from me. I have nothing now. But, you know, I feel much better for it.
Yeah, well, I think that's how they try to control you. Is they'll give you plenty of cash, and the reason why it's hush money, basically, for lack of a better term. This isn't to say that all wealthy people are evil or manipulative or doing scumbaggery things. There's plenty of wealthy people out there, and by wealthy I mean, you know, $1 million plus or whatever. Once you get to the point where you're a billionaire or a Rothschild trillionaire, there ain't no fracking possibility that what you're doing is right, because nobody needs that much money. Nobody.
And millionaires aren't rich, Vinny. Millionaires aren't rich at all. Not even some of these massive stars with so much money. The rich ones, I'm telling you, the things that I worked so hard for and I thought I was earning so much money is nothing to them. They can just pick up a phone and just make a phone call and it's done. Do you know what I mean? It's like they are rich.
Oh, yeah. You know, they got like the president on speed dial kind of thing. It's like, are you passing that legislation, boy? Well, I got something to say about that. Here's another couple of $1 billion of campaign contributions so you can fund the military-industrial complex. Not pass that bill that's going to secure people's rights and liberties, okay? You know, the little voice in your ear kind of thing.
Caught up in the web. It must be so hard for them. What could they do? Do you know what I mean?
Well, they can do what Tila Tequila did. Put yourself on the line, come out there, and speak the truth. That's what I've been saying this for the most of the show. You got to speak the truth, regardless of how painful it is, regardless of what consequences you feel as a result, because the consequences of not telling the truth, the consequences of not exposing the New World Order, the consequences of not becoming a whistleblower means that not just you lose your soul, but we all lose our freedom. We all lose our lives. We all lose everything of value if we don't stand up for the truth. That's the thing. The truth is really the only thing of value. If you are not living with and stepping in the shoes of truth in and of itself, your life has no meaning. All you're doing is taking the hush money like a slave.
Absolutely well said. But Tila Tequila has got something different. If some of these people, like, let's say, like, say if you went through something as an ordeal, that, like, there's another guy, Jay, he's a lovely guy, I can't remember, but he was brought up in an Illuminati family. If you are going through that, when are they going to? When would you wake up? How would you wake up? If you are just your mind and your body, let's say we are mind, body, spirit, and soul. With Tila Tequila, you have absolutely no problem there because her spirit and soul cannot be controlled. That is why she's like that. But like the mind and body, if you are just about your mind and your body, then you which is most people, then you don't really. You've got no way out.
I think that's a good point. And Gyro, thank you very much for your call, man. And we'll be back next segment, ladies and gentlemen, to take some more callers. The number is 218-339-8525. Back in a minute.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca-Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Everywhere.
Welcome back.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com for your archives there, because unfortunately we have been having some problems getting the archives up on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And so I've been providing my own archives for quite a number of years now. For this very reason, just in case, you know, you got to have backups. You know, I've got backups of my backups, so I've got multiple pages where these archives can be found. Commercial free versions, ad-containing versions, because AFR needs the advertising revenue as well in order to keep it going. Speaking of which, if you would like to donate to American Freedom Radio, go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the donate banner at the top there. Send them some money orders or something like that, because, you know, it's really quite difficult making money out of telling the truth. Anybody who says that it's not ain't telling the truth. You know, it's quite difficult. You know, I have my own financial strains and burdens and so on and so forth. And by the way, the amount of generosity my listeners have shown me over the years, and even just recently, just blows my mind. This is why I don't have a terribly large amount of difficulty continuing to do this show, why I don't have that much of a problem feeling encouraged. Because really, think about this. I have so much support out there from listeners like you who not only donate once in a while or subscribe for a couple of dollars a month and give me regular income, but also a lot of the people on Facebook and emails and things like that. Whenever I'm kind of not happy or upset about something or in a tight spot, they're always there to encourage me, to let me know that they care, to offer me words of wisdom, to listen to my concerns and so on and so forth. I wish everybody was treated the way that I am by my listeners. And I think that's part of the fact that my listeners are the salt of the earth people. Now, seriously, you may think you're just ordinary people. You may think you're just, you know, doing what you can and la, 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 and you want to refuse praise. And if somebody tells you how great you are or whatever, you know, you try and shun it away because you're generally humble people, listeners to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Stop being so humble. Really. Just recognize the simple, pure, and obvious truth that you are one of the best kind of people on the face of this earth. You're on the whole kind, patient, generous, humorous, loving, caring people, creative, intelligent, non-judgmental. Everybody that listens to this show invariably is like that at times. Sometimes, you know, you get listeners who are pretty not quite so on that category, but you never mind. You take the good with the bad. But in general, that's what I've noticed, you know, and I've been doing this for a number of years. People who listen to this show are not only the best kind of people with the greatest characteristics that you could hope for in a human being, but they seem to have an extraordinary amount of power and ability in doing their own things, setting up their own businesses, and wisdom. That's another thing. I have never spoken to one of my listeners who didn't possess some kind of innate wisdom, this real kind of experience and lust for life that has yet to be extinguished despite the massive quantity of scumbaggery that you've been exposed to. That is really encouraging, not only to me, should be encouraging to yourself. You know, a lot of my listeners are really good parents too. That's another thing that I've noticed. Is that the vast majority of my listeners are nearly twice my age. And I don't know whether or not you're listening to the show because you see me as some kind of child that you never had, some kind of young energetic being that's doing what maybe you wished you could do when you were young. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know what the attraction is specifically. But I'm just very grateful that you're listening anyway. I'm grateful that people share the archives to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, because look at it this way. There's so much content out there online. There are millions upon millions of websites currently in existence. And the fact that you're coming here to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com or AmericanFreedomRadio.com is so overwhelmingly great of you. You know, you should pat yourself on the back. You made it. You found something that is honest. You found something that is decent to spend your time listening to. The fact that you're even spending your time at all on anything decent means that you're a cut above the vast majority of society for a start. That's how great you really are. Stop denying your greatness. Stop denying your awesomeness. You truly are quite fabulous people. And you may be alone. That's the worst part that I've found invariably about a lot of the conversations that I have with my listeners, is that they're very alone. There's just not anybody of your quality in your life right now. That's really sad to me. I'm very grateful that people like you call me, that the people like you send me Facebook messages. I'm very, very grateful for that, because there've been many times in the past where I have felt alone, where I have felt that I'm surrounded by people who don't listen, by people who don't care, by people who are vacuous, shallow, all those nasty things. And now I cannot escape from people like you, who are so caring and so generous and so loving. It makes me feel really, really good. It's actually quite difficult for me to get depressed. It's actually quite difficult for me to get properly angry anymore, because I've always got my amazing listeners encouraging me, supporting me, and caring about me. That's another thing. Just knowing that there's people that care, just knowing that means so much. And I don't think people really, in a lot of their life, get to experience these things that I am at the moment. And I wish that society was different. I wish that you were all appreciated for the kind, generous, and fabulous souls that you are. But the world doesn't work like that. We're not the ones that are looked up to. We're not the ones that are emulated by the masses. We are the ones that are demonized. We are the ones that get shunned. We are the ones that get called names. We are the ones who get fired or have to quit our jobs because our conscience tells us otherwise. We are the ones who suffer at the hands of scumbaggery. We are the ones who are the targets of true, unadulterated evil. The whistleblowers and the activists that I've spoken to have had so much trauma in their life. It's like bleeding out of every orifice with no hope of a blood clot. That's what it means to be a truther. That's what it means to be a patriot. That's what it means to be a decent man in an indecent time. Is that invariably we are not appreciated for the good within us. In this topsy-turvy world, that good, bright part of ourselves is considered bad. Isn't that strange? Doesn't that make you angry? That by being a good, decent, honest person,
cares about other people, that you are operating in a system that sees that as a disadvantage, that it is run by psychopathic individuals, archontic entities, whatever it is you want to call it. I'm not sure about anything anymore. But I do know this, that you got a real raw deal being born in this time, in this place. It's a time of universal deceit, ecumenical scumbaggery, something that is difficult to even contemplate, let alone comprehend. And the confusion when you suddenly wake up and you realize, oh my God, all these things that I previously thought that I understand don't actually frickin' exist. The trauma when you try and tell your parents who are on their way to get another vaccine for the year to protect themselves from the flu. The angst that you feel when a police officer is questioning you for no reason whatsoever. The inherent sense of inflamed rage that courses through you when you're ordered to do something on the battlefield that you know is illegal, that you know that you're going to be executed by your commanding officer if you don't follow that order. This is our life. This is our struggle. And it is our fate to be the ones who have suffered the trauma, who have seen and experienced and had penetrated into every orifice the scumbaggery of this society. The reason why we're capable of dealing with it, the reason why we're able to come out the other side, not unscathed at all, but still alive, still capable of thinking, still capable of feeling, is because we are the best of society. We are the strongest. We are the noblest. We are the most creative, the most capable, and the most deserving of freedom. Our parents, maybe grandparents, thought that they were fighting for freedom when they went overseas. But they weren't. That's the tragedy. Is that nearly an entire generation of men was lost. The honourable men. The strong men. The diligent, patriotic men. They were the ones that were sacrificed so that we could allegedly have freedom. But instead, they were simply sacrificed for the ends of the New World Order. What came out of World War II? The United Nations, headed up by a former Nazi Party member. And you think that somehow, that because your grandparents or parents died, or watched their friends blown apart into 1,000 tiny bits, that they died for something good? They were deceived. We were deceived. All of us. I wish for a world where the only time anybody would die is for a good reason. A damn good reason. Dying to bring about a new world order, dying to sustain a military-industrial complex, dying to benefit vaccine company profits is not freaking good enough, is it? But to realize how important we all are, and to not throw away our lives willingly, and not for just somebody's say-so, but for a very, very good and powerful reason. like freedom for the entire human race, for example. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Bonkers.
In my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. I wake up, every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy bass line is kind of silence. Everybody says that I've got to get a grip.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the final segment here, so if you wish to call in, this is your last chance. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. That's a US number, and I also find it challenging as well, having a radio show based in New Zealand that's broadcast live or all around the world, having an American board where you have to make a toll call in order to call in to a lot of people, apart from the American listeners, of course. 218-339-8525. Gyro, who called in earlier, was calling in from England, and hopefully that won't cost them too much. But, you know, it's something that I really wish for people to do, is ring in, share your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, because I know that life is really hard right now. And sometimes it's just good just to talk about it in some way, shape, or form. Because, you know, as I was saying previously, it's just having somebody to talk to, having somebody who listens, more to the point, is so important. And its importance cannot be underestimated. You know, you really do have to have people around you that are supportive. You know, there are 7 billion plus people on the planet today. Don't relegate yourself to only speaking to, only hanging out with people who don't recognize your innate importance as a human being. Don't do it. All right? You're almost better off being alone than being with people who don't respect you. You know what I'm saying? People who don't encourage you, people who don't help, people who don't really have original thoughts, people who don't talk about things that matter. What the hell is the point in that? Honestly. And, you know, personally, I've lost so many friends over the years, but I just make new ones. New people who are actually the kind of people I want to be friends with, you know? That's something my father was capable of doing. When he was a young man, he was capable of making friends really, really easy, good friends. And then towards the end of his life, he was only making enemies. I remember I went down to see him at Rings Beach, Coromandel, and I hadn't really been there or talked to any of those people who lived on that beach with him that when I was a young boy. You know, younger than 10 years old. I hadn't really seen these people in like nearly 20 years. And to speak with them, it was like they thought I was my father and they didn't trust me. They were angry with me. They told me to leave, you know? And I was like, what is this? What has my father done? And it turns out that he stopped making friends. He stopped making compromises. He stopped caring because he felt rejected, because he'd done some mean and some hurtful things to all of these people. And they hated him for it. And
And I don't know, maybe they assumed that I was there to, on his behalf, trying to poison their lives again. And they weren't willing to tolerate it. I don't ever want to turn out like my father. Ever. You know? He died and he was a millionaire. Guess how much I got out of the will? Nothing. My brother, my sisters, got nothing. You know? It's all locked up in trust somewhere. And that's really quite painful. To realize that the person who actually kind of sowed the seed and brought you into this world cares so little about you that they don't want to leave you anything that they accumulated during their life. How inherently selfish. You know? Here I am, a struggling activist. I could have done with $1 million. I could have bought a house. I could be modifying a room as we speak, in order to turn it into a professional studio so that I could teach activists how to do all of these media savvy things that I can do. We have a caller on the line here in the 604 area code. You are on the air.
Hi, Vinny.
Hey,
how are you? You talk today. I try to listen to you almost every day when I'm driving home from work.
Well, thank you.
And, yeah, well, I enjoy your show. I like the fact that you invite anybody on to speak and speak what they have to say. You know, your guests are very interesting people, and that's what, you know, draws me in. And I like your humor.
Yeah,
and I do like my humor too. Thank you. You do a fabulous job.
Well, thank you. How did you learn about this show? If you don't mind me asking.
Be honest, I don't really remember now because I've listened to you for a couple of years. Wow. This is my first time calling in. But I believe I just came across one of a tidbit that was put on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And yourself personally, how did you kind of...
Who is it? I'm trying to remember who your first visitor was. I think it was Santos Bonacci, actually.
Oh, yeah. Santos is a good man, eh?
Yeah, totally excellent. And I just, you know, you were trying to, you know, talking to all the listeners and telling everybody how wonderful they are. And it's true. I find that most people who are listening to shows like yours are people who want to make a difference and have live by conscience.
Mm.
Yes. I am walking through a mall of all places. I'm not a mall person, and bad timing to call.
Well, I really thank you for calling in, because, you know, it's something that I believe that we've forgotten, you know, as truth is a lot of the time, is that we are actually kind of the best people in society, and society's so bad that it makes out like we're the worst people, like we're the crazy ones, and it's like we're not the crazy ones. We're the good ones. We're the good guys here. We're the G.I. Joes, and everybody else is the freaking Cobra.
Agreed. There are days, though, when I, you know, as much as I, you know, I take a look and I research and I look into information, I do have my moments where I'm like, am I really crazy? Is all this stuff that I'm looking at, like, real?
You know? Well, that's healthy.
And we question it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're not questioning your sanity, then there's nothing to prevent you from going insane, is there?
Exactly. So I even question myself in what I look at. And believe me, there are times when I have looked into things that, you know, make you feel like you've gone over the deep end.
Mm.
But, you know, if you take the time and think about it and look at it, you don't have to fall for every line that comes at you, right? Even sometimes though it appears like it could be real. You know, I've had a lot of those times. And my sister, she's one of those people who's waking up too, and she calls me up all the time asking, you know, I don't know, because I mean, I'm talking to people and they just don't get it. Am I crazy? Right? And no, because those people who don't get it didn't look at anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I the crazy one because I've got information and actually thought about something for a change, and other people who looked at nothing and thought about nothing, the sane ones? And the answer is no.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it's just about reassuring people that, you know, you may think that you've gone over the deep end, but all it is that you opened your eyes and took a look at the world and said something's not right and went and looked at it. And most people are just quite happy to go to the mall and purchase the next shiny thing or the next piece of fashion and be done with it.
What the hell is the point in that? What are they trying to accomplish in life? You know?
Right.
Seriously. Yeah. Seriously. If your life is about consuming something that somebody else created, you had no hand in creating it, and all you're doing is endlessly purchasing things that don't actually make you happy in order to try and make yourself happy, that's freaking nuts.
Agreed. I've never been one for purchasing something because, you know, I thought it might make me happy. It's never, I mean, you know, it's one of those, you know, lucky people who was raised without a whole lot. So I learned that not having a lot was, you know, not important to happiness, you know. So,
yeah.
But there are so many people who are still within that, even my man at times, you know, he's all about the next thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's really difficult when you're actually living with people who don't get it. I mean, my girlfriend Sarah, I think maybe for the first couple of years of me coming out and being an activist and that kind of thing, she didn't quite get it. I mean, but she still supported me, you know, like she loved me that much. Yeah. And it's only really been in the last year that she started yelling at the news too. And saying, look, there's a pyramid with an all-seeing eye in the show. And I go, I love it when my baby notices the Illuminati symbolism.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. These are the kind of things exactly. That are actually quite encouraging.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, he's gotten much better over the years and so on. But, you know, like he still falls into that thing. And you know what? You live with it. Everybody has their time.
Yeah. Everybody has their time. I think you're right. And it's the time when you notice that it's time to stand up, time to start doing something. That's the perfect time for you. Thank you for your call. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.